But we are going to continue working in a combat zone, a job, or the job from hell. All right, so we're going to continue on this line. And you might say this morning that you have the job from hell. You know what? You're not the first person. You're not the first person to have a tough job. And let's say this too. You're not the first person in the Bible. The Bible is full of people with tough jobs that they went through. Now, what we've got to determine is, are we supposed to be there? And if you are there, I believe God had his hands in your life to get you there. Now, I want to be very clear, I'm not saying you should get one job, live and die in that job, and never change jobs. There will be times that God will lead you to change jobs. But I think there is something that we should use that God gave us. It's in between both our ears. It's called our brain. In changing jobs, you don't change, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't change jobs without a job lined up, ready to go. Okay? That just should make common sense. That should just be common sense. We line that stuff up before we get going. So I'm not telling you you're going to be the only one there, but don't leave a job because it's just hard. Don't leave a job because no one likes you. Okay? Don't leave a job because your boss is unfair. That's not why we leave jobs. We leave jobs because we are guided and directed by the Lord. And or by his word, which is being led and guided by the word. You're not going to break the law. No insider trading. No smuggling drugs. No being a drug mule. No breaking the law. Okay? No growing stuff in your basement. Tomatoes, veggies, that's good stuff. But we're not going to break the law for our work. Hello? All right. And so in all of this, I want you to turn in your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Samuel. We're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, we said last week, I read a scripture that said, servants, or we could say this, employees, be subject unto your masters or boss with all fear. And fear just means reverence. We're to reverence our bosses. We are to have reverence for our bosses. And if you have reverence for someone, you don't talk bad about them. If you have reverence for someone, you don't trash them. And if somebody else is trashing them, you don't join in and say, I know, right? He's a horrible person or she is a horrible person. We don't trash people if we have reverence for them. And it says, reverence them or have with all fear, and not only to the good and the gentle. See, it's easy to reverence the good and the gentle, but also the forward. And we said the word forward means they're unfair, crooked, perverse, wicked, and unreasonable. Does that sound like some of your bosses? Don't show me, no show of hands, and nobody who works for the church show of hands either. And so in all of this, now we said even last week that this has been a subject, having a job from hell has been a subject that we have, has been on for eternity. Since jobs were invented, since Adam, I'm sure he thought he had the job from hell because things were so easy before. Now he's got to tend to the garden and now it's rough. So he's upset with his job. And we've had songs written about that. Didn't we talk about songs last week? What were they? I forgot what they were. Oh, I do love that one. But we had 16 tons.
16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt.
We had working in a coal mine.
Working in a coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine.
We had work. You might be asking, why are we playing such short clips? We can only play 6 seconds for free. Otherwise, then we have to pay for it. So, working 9 to 5.
On the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
And then we had take this job.
Take this job.
Cut it right there. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I wanted to play them again this week. I just love those songs. God says that it is reasonable. Not only is it reasonable, but it blesses him that when we are faithful to our jobs, that when we reverence our boss, not only the good bosses, but the unfair bosses, the bosses that, put more work on us. And there has been not only in the past, but continuing in our nation that there are some jobs that put more work on you for your religious stance. Have you ever had any religious discrimination in your workplace? They find out that you're a Christian and all of a sudden people begin to talk about behind you, behind your back. Well, and then if you ever mess up, dear Lord, I thought you were a Christian. I always loved that statement. I thought you loved Jesus. I do. And you want to step outside? I'll show you how much I do love him. So it just irritated me. It irritated me when people would make that statement because they think that they have the wrong idea of a Christian. They don't believe that Christians get mad. Well, you know what? The Bible says get angry and sin not. I can get all kinds of angry and sin not. And so it doesn't mean that you don't get angry. It means that you don't sin while you're angry. And so if you don't think you can be saved and get angry, just have children. You can be angry all the time and it'd be righteous and just. And so there is godly anger. All right. I don't know where y'all are this morning, but y'all turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And so there are bosses that will put more workload on Christians just because of their religious affiliation. There will be people that will be passed over because they don't want either you know, and it's different if you believe what you're talking about. If you believe the Bible, if you're actually a Christian who believes the Bible, all of a sudden, there's a stigma sometimes placed to you. I got asked this week by somebody. They said, "What do you truly believe mankind came from two people?" I said, "Absolutely. Not only did it come from two people, I know the name." It was Adam and Eve. I know their name. So not only do I believe it came just from two people, I know who they are. And so I believe the Bible. I believe it from front to back. I even believe on the front when it says genuine leather. I believe that. And even all the way to the maps in the back. I believe those maps. All right, so it's one thing if you say you're a Christian. The world seems to accept Christians a little more when they say they're a Christian, but they don't act like it on Monday through Saturday. And then sometimes bosses are a little okay with that. And they're all right. I remember I had a parent tell me that their school suggested that their kid get a mental evaluation to be checked out because they said they wanted to be a preacher and that they believed the word of God. And they said, that's not normal. He was a first grader. So that's not normal for a first grader to want to be a preacher. And said, that's not normal. And he believes, the Bible. So I think we might need a mental evaluation. And the parents suggested that the teacher keep their hands off their kid and keep their mental evaluations to themselves. All right. And so the world can discriminate against those who actually believe the word. Now, get this. Now, we don't have to. There's a fine line of believing God's word, but you ain't got to be crazy either. And I think sometimes Christians shoot themselves in the foot all the time from being, absolutely nuts. You know who I'm talking about. Somebody popped in your mind right then. Somebody popped in your mind. We can be balanced on the word of God. And, there are some issues that don't even matter. I don't even know why I'm getting into this morning. But there are some issues that don't matter, that absolutely don't matter. How long the earth has been around don't matter. In the fine end of the deal, it does not matter. I don't care if a day equaled a billion years to God or if it equaled 24 hours. I don't care. Do you know what it has to do with my eternal salvation? Zip, zilch. All I know is God did it in increments of 6 days and rested on the seventh. And if you want to get technical, if you want to believe absolutely the word of God, the world was created before the sun was ever even there. Because it said that it was dark and God separated the darkness from the light. So stuff was out there before the sun ever was. And so the world was created before the sun was even there. So 24 hours, what does it matter? There was no 24 hours. There was no world turning around the sun. But we'll get hung up on that. What does it matter? That's what we need to come to the conclusion of. There are some things that just absolutely don't matter. Right. And we need to set those aside and stand on the things that do matter. You want to know what does matter? That there is only one way to God, and His name is Jesus. There's only one way that you can change your life forever. There's only one way to enter into heaven, and that is accepting Jesus as your Savior. All right, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Now I can continue to preach. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 15. And now we're going to look at King David here. Well, he wasn't king at this time. Isn't it interesting? Let's just talk about David for a second. David was a sheep herder, and he was a darn good sheep herder. You want to know why he was a sheep herder? Because none of his brothers wanted to herd sheep. He was low on the totem pole. He was the youngest. He was the skinniest. He was the shortest. He got kicked out. He was the runt. He got made to do whatever they wanted him to do. You have a lot of older brothers and sisters? Do you want to know why I am a fast eater? Because if you wasn't, you didn't get seconds. I can inhale a whole chicken, no problem. But in all of this, David was out there. Now, David got anointed by Samuel, the prophet. And so Samuel anointed him to be king. You know what many Christians would do today if they got anointed to be king and it didn't happen instantly? What in the world am I doing out here herding sheep? I'm anointed to be king. Bow to me. I will behead you when I get into my position. You know, they would overuse their authority. But David had character. This is something else. David had to go play for King Saul. And you know what a lot of Christians would have done? Now, it wasn't a harp. What is that? A lyra? Is that what those little things? Lyre? Ooh, that's a terrible word. We're going to call it lyra. No, lyra, lyre, lyre, whatever. And they did tiny harp, miniature harp, like miniature ponies, but in harp sections. And so miniature harp, and he's there playing. Could you imagine him looking at Saul? Mm-hmm, I'm going to take your job from you. Mm-hmm, you just sit there and relax, buddy. I'm going to play you to sleep. And a lot of Christians would even begin to plan a coup. Not only plan a coup, but think it would be the will of God for them to kill him. How dare he stand in my position? Doesn't he know the high priest anointed me? That is my spot. And they would take on all of a sudden, I don't know what to put it for dudes, but I know what to call it for females, diva mentality. Does that work for men too? I don't know. Can men get diva? Can they get diva mentalities? I don't know how it works. I don't know. I don't know what you would call them. But anyway, so they get this mentality. He could have got this mentality. That's my position. And he, even though it was the will of God for him to stand in the position, he could have tried to get there in his own strength and committed a sin in doing it. Some of us see the position that we want to be in. Some of us see the positions that we know we have been called to be in. Because God has called us to be the head and not the tail. And sometimes we feel like the tail. Sometimes the position we are in is the tail. I remember my daddy told me this. This is not scripture, so don't take it as scripture. But my daddy told me sometimes, son, crap rolls downhill. And you want to know what? You're at the bottom holding the bucket. That's what he would tell me sometimes. Fatherly love. That's what he would tell me. And basically what he was telling me, if your boss has a crappy day, a lot of times if you're in direct dealing with him, you might have one too. All right, and so sometimes, you know, the scripture, what it calls us and the manifestation of stepping in to what our place is can be a time and a season. And we can get so upset at standing in a position, knowing what we're called to be, anointed to be in the position, ideas that can help the business or the country, whatever it is we're supposed to be involved in, knowing how to run it better. And then we can get an attitude. Look at them. They pond the work. When I'm in that position, I will never do that. And we can get a bad attitude. Instead of doing what the Bible says, reverence in all with fear. But reverence, that word fear means reverence. Reverencing our boss instead of reverencing them, undermining and undercutting them. Do you know what I've never understood about the world? The world, no matter what they're doing, has to build their case to feel like enough people has to join them before they can do what they need to do. And I've seen it even interfere and come into the church as well. I've seen it come into the church. If somebody has to leave a position, they got to trash everything that's going on so that people will understand that they were right. Let's put it in a job. I have to leave this job. They don't even know what they're doing. My God, they don't know what they're doing. My boss has no idea how to run. He doesn't have the education. And if he does, he forgot it all. He doesn't have the experience. He doesn't know what he's doing. She doesn't have any idea what needs to be done to run this position. I don't even know why they put her there. And we start to undercut and we start to talk bad about them behind their back to other employees so that we get a rally. We rally up the troops on our side. And then when we leave, other people leave, there's a mass exodus. But not only is there a mass exodus, there also is a time where they build it up and they tried to go and they gun for the position. And that has happened in the church as well. And I do believe that people are called to a church. And I do believe that sometimes God will tell those people, okay, it's time for you to go somewhere else. But for them to go somewhere else, they think they have to give a good explanation. And then they don't like the pastor anymore. They don't like the church anymore. They don't like the leadership anymore. So that they have to talk bad about it and see how many people they can take with them when they leave instead of just obeying God and go. Can I tell you something? I just want to tell you this. This is interesting. So there was somebody that was leaving one time, and they told me, I have to leave. God has spoken to me. And I went before the Lord because it bothered me. It bothered me. And they're like, Lord, but you, they told me when they got here that you told them to come. So what happened, God? Did I not line up? Is something wrong with me? What happened here? Or did they just not hear from you at all? And I heard very clearly the Lord say, no, I did tell them to leave. I'm like, oh, but why? And then I heard God say, it was for you, not for them. They needed to leave because they were about to cause you a whole lot of trouble. They wouldn't get in line. I mean, like, working in a coal mine. And so I do believe, now this is true, there will be people that leave your life. And they're like, the Lord has told me to leave your life. And he has, but it's not for them. It's for you. Some people's got to leave because God knows if they get involved, they will try to sidetrack you. He's trying to save you from some pain. He's trying to save you from some suffering. And so stop trying to hold on to people that God's trying to take out. Mm-hmm. Lord, I feel good this morning. And so some people, the Lord is trying to remove from your life. Let them go. This is cliche, but let go and let God. Let the Lord do what he's called to. And I hate this as an excuse, but I love them. Yeah, you know what? I love ice cream too. But sometimes I just have to say no. Mm-hmm. All right. And so people, I get it. I get it. You love them. I get it. You love them. But God does not cause things to happen in your life just to bring you pain. He's pulling things out because where you have to go, you can't have no weight on you to carry what God has for you. There can be no chains holding you back to get to the level that God has called you to. You have got to come to a level that God has got great things in store for you. And if you're going to pick them up, you're going to have to let go of what's holding you back. And so God is purposely setting you up for victory. God is setting you up to come into the land that flows with milk and honey. God is purposely setting you up. And so never look at why, Lord, why? There's some reasons. And sometimes we'll never know why, but we'll be able to see the end result. And that's what we're after, the end result. Say the end result with me. All right. Now, Matthew 16 and 5. So we have David working for Saul. Now, David didn't get a bad attitude. David didn't look at Saul and say, I want his position and I'm going to take it by force. God has promised it to me. He hasn't said that. He knows what's going to happen and he's letting God do the work. There's a lot of times we make mistakes when we try to do the work. And we will justify hateful, hateful words, hateful actions, because the end result is the Lord's will. And if you can't do it in love, you can't do it. If you can't do it in love, you can't do it. So there's some people you can't talk about. There's some people you might not even be able to associate with. Some people you might not be able to go to the home. Oh, hello. Even out to dinner with them. Even family. Oh, did I say that? No, let's keep going. So 1 Samuel 16 and verse 15. And Saul's servant. So we have Saul here being troubled by a demonic force. And so Saul's servant said unto him, behold now an evil spirit from God. We cleared that up last week. It's not from God. What it's talking about is God knew, had knowledge of something happening, had knowledge of this evil spirit going to come. Can I tell you something? If God's hand wasn't on you, every evil spirit on the face of the earth would be bombarding you to try to destroy you and kill you. I'll say this. I truly believe if it wasn't the hand of the Lord, there ain't not one drunk driver that would ever make it home. Amen. They would all wreck and all die and kill as many people as they possibly could along the way. That would be the will of the enemy for their life. But the hand of God is what keeps, and you might say, well, what happened? Why bad things? First of all, we'll know all that when we get there. It rains upon the just and the unjust alike. But God's hand sometimes has to move. Why? Because people's free will. Hello, somebody. But I believe God gives everybody every opportunity to get in line with his word. So it says, God troubled thee. Now, verse 16, let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player on the harp and is one. If you actually study that, what did we say? Lyre? Mm-hmm. That little bitty miniature harp. In my mind, it plays like the banjo. All right. Sounds like the banjo. So in all this, he says, let's find somebody that can play the harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, he shall play with thy hand and thou shalt be well. Isn't it interesting that Saul, even though he was, he wanted the Lord's will in his life, but he got away from God's will in his life. He began to sin. He began to try to be holy in front of people. And then behind closed doors was an evil man. Sounds like the condition of our world today, doesn't it? Mm. All right. And so in all of this, let's continue. Verse 17. So but this is what I want to point out too. The servant knew enough about God to say, you know what? If we get somebody anointed in here, if we get somebody to play, that evil spirit will leave you. And Saul said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's make sure we do it. And so, they tried Corey, but he wasn't born yet. So they kept looking and they found David. They found David. In verse 17, and Saul said unto the servants, provide me a man who can play well and bring to me. And then the answer of one of the servants said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, basically Bethlehem is what the city is there, that was cunning and playing and a mighty vigilant man, a man of war. Prudent in matters and a comely person, in other words, speaks well. And the Lord is with thee. And all this is saying basically is he was strong, good looking, and well spoken. That's basically what the scriptures say. Wherefore Saul sent out a messenger unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son. Can you imagine the king of some country coming to you saying, hey, send me your child? And then he was with sheep. He was with sheep because you know what sheep herders smell like? Sheep and sweat and B.O. And so he had to go take a shower. And so he departed and he was refreshed. All right, let's keep looking here. And so they sent David, verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit, now from God, we've already dealt with that. It was not from God. God's hand was removed upon off of Saul's life because of what Saul was doing. And David took a harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well. The evil spirit departed from him. Now, I can prove to you biblically that the evil spirit was not from God by this last verse here. If God sent the evil spirit, how could an anointed man from God remove the evil spirit if it was from God? The Bible tells us if a house be divided, how can it stand? That would be like God sending an evil spirit to our church, if he had evil spirits, sending one here, and then me praying and it leaving. Yeah. I can't divert the will of God, and neither could David. David can't divert the will of God. And so that was not, it wasn't what happened. So now, David came to work for Saul. Talking about a job from hell, David came to work for Saul. Now, King Saul, and he took the work and he began to really love David. Saul loved David, but not only did Saul love David, but the whole kingdom began to love David. All the servants began to love David. David was a man of war. If you read the Bible, you'll find out that he went out on campaigns for Saul and would win battles because he was cunning in battle. He knew how to win a battle. He knew how to set the men up in the best position to be winners. And so that began to happen. So then all the military force began to love David. And then they begin to sing songs about the king. Can you imagine this? You're the head. And then all of a sudden they sing songs. Oh, Saul has killed his, but David has killed so much more. Can you imagine? You're the king of a country. There's a parade because you just won a battle. And you're in there and you hear the people singing. You know, Saul's great, but David's better. Like you bunch of punks. That would have been my thought. So David, King Saul began to get irritated with David. Not only did he become irritated with David, he became very jealous of David. He was insecure in his own position. And, well, honestly, he had every right to be insecure because he quit following the Lord. And the Bible tells us God can cause a man to rise and he can cause a man to leave. And Saul was on its way out. But I truly believe this. If Saul would have gotten his life right with the Lord, he could have stayed king. He could have stayed in his position. All right? So let's look at this. Saul threw a javelin at King David. You know what a javelin is? Yeah, it's a big old spear. And so David is playing for King Saul. So King Saul is troubled. We can tell. So King Saul is troubled. And David is doing his job, playing the harp for King Saul. And he's doing it well. He's doing it anointed. And King Saul throws a spear at him to kill him. I don't know what happened, if David jumped out of the way or if Saul, you know, threw it and an angel just said, you know what, let's just move that spear over like 2 inches. I don't know what happened, but whatever happened, it hit the wall. Could you, what would be going through your mind as King David? Or David, you know, playing. Huh. I'm going to go to monster.com. I think it's in my best interest right now. I'm going to check my 401k out. We're getting out of this place. Now, David did run. If your boss throws a spear at you, run. Run, run, run. Grab your phone, dial 911. Now, this was before 911 was invented. And so Saul did not like David. We see that. Well, now this is interesting. David still worked for Saul. David still worked for Saul. We find that several times David had to run. The king, Saul, actually sent soldiers to the house and said, in mourning, kill him. And David had to sneak out of a window and run for his life. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had to talk to him and said, now, Daddy, David ain't done nothing for you except bring you victories and lift you up. And you're going to try to kill him? And so, you know, his own children had to talk to him. Now, in all of this is interesting. This is interesting. David kept working for the king. And you know, probably me or you, if after one or two life attempts on our life by our boss, we might, you know, go with Wisconsin. Oh, does Wisconsin have a stand your ground? I don't think so. Yes. No. I hear no and I hear yes. So I'm going to go with no because I ain't going to tell you nothing. I ain't telling you nothing. I know they have a castle doctrine. That's all I can speak clearly on at this moment. But from what I understand, I don't know, but there are some states that have a stand your ground law, which means if someone comes after you, you don't have to flee. Now, there are some states that have concealed carry that if someone comes after you, you have to physically flee. That is the law. You can't stand your ground. You have to flee from them in your best ability. You have to flee. Now, so some of us might be like, you know what? Next time King Saul does this, I'm going to pop it to him. I have every right to take out King Saul. I have every right to. He's tried to kill me twice now. You know, that would be a mentality to some people. But David didn't do that. David was led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to say we must be led by the Spirit of the Lord in all we do. And I'm not talking about life and death situations, but I'm talking about in everything. We must be led by the Spirit of the Lord, and especially in life and death situations. We need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. We must be. We must be. And so he could have got the mentality, I can take out King David, I can take out King Saul here and be in my right to do so. But that was not David. David, come back. Now get this also. Let's talk about David's job. David was called an armor bearer. He was actually the first armor bearer we ever see. He's the first one we see. He's a temp. He's working a temp job. It's a job that was created just for David because he liked him. So he came in as a harp player. It was a temporary job. And then to stay in, they made a position for him, armor bearer. It's not always a fun or glamorous job, is it? Do you know what an armor bearer does?
They carry stuff.
They're also gophers. Go for this, go for that. King Saul needed a cup of coffee. David went and got it. It was part of his job. So it wasn't a glamorous job. And so God made David a job where there was no job. So this should be good for some of you that might say, I have temp jobs. I'm a temp. Well, do your job so well that they love you, they'll create a job for you. They will keep you around. God will create a job when there is no job for you. I don't like my job. It's a temp. And I'm working so hard. And they abuse me because they know I'm a temp. I ain't sticking around. So they give me more work than I can do. Yeah, they did that to David. They gave him more work than he could do. And they gave him the crappy jobs. And everybody piled their work upon David because he was a temp. And God created a job for David. Now, so David kept working for him. Let's jump. I know that I'm jumping around here, but for time's sake, let's jump to back to 18. And so one of the servants said, I have seen the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, who knows how to play the lie. The lie.
Liar.
I don't like that word. We need to change that. I'm just going to put harp in there. Play the harp. He is a brave man, a warrior. Now, I'm reading this out of the NIV. And he speaks well. I like how the NIV put this. And he is fine looking. You know, a woman was telling King Saul this. He's a fine-looking man. And with the Lord is with him. So let's look close at this. Let's look at David's job application. Let's look at what his job application would say. Are you ready? He plays skillfully. He could have been a musician. And we find out through the word that he was also a good singer. He wrote songs and he would sing all the time. So he could have been on The Voice. He could have been on Jerusalem Idol. So let's look at this. He was a brave man. Now the word brave here just basically means he wasn't afraid of any job. And so some of the jobs, have you seen dirty jobs? Some of you have looked at it and said, I would never do that. David was not that way. He says, I'll jump in. Other servants would say, uh-uh, it ain't in my job description. I don't clean toilets. I don't fold clothes. There's a backup in there. I don't plunge. I don't do that mess. David was, God made soap. I can wash off. That was David's mentality. He wasn't afraid of a job. He would do any job. And so he could put that on his, he could put that on his resume. Number three, he was a warrior. He was a military man. He was good at winning victories. He understood the art of war. And he would get involved there. So he could have joined the military. He was a good public speaker. He could have been a politician. He could have been a preacher. He could have been a car salesman or a used donkey salesman. Camel salesman. But like, we just had these knees replaced. They're great. Loaded him up with water this morning. He should be good for 2 or 3 weeks. And so he could have been something that his job would have had him doing speaking. Now, also, the Bible tells us that he was in the NIV, the way the NIV puts it. He was fine looking. He could have been a GQ model. And the most important thing of his resume was the last thing the Bible says about him. The Lord was with him. Now, that's something we don't understand, that statement. We as a church do not understand that statement. You know why we don't understand that statement? Because the Lord is with every one of us. Back then, the Lord was not with every individual, not like he is today. If you had sin in your life and everybody was born into a sin nature, God could not commune with them. If for everyone, for us to commune with the Lord, Jesus had to die. And so every one of us has the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing us. Not back then. The Spirit of the Lord would have to come upon people. And so God said, I am with David 24/7. David could have went to the priest and said, you know what? I'm joining the ministry. And he could have been a prophet. He could have walked with Samuel, the one who anointed him. He could have found another. He could have said, Samuel, it is too stressful in the palace. I've already been the tents on my life. I can't handle this anymore. I'm coming to work for the ministry. He could have got any job. I'm going to tell you something. Think about what you're good at. Think about what you're good at. You know, I had a scholarship, a full-paid scholarship to an art school. I had a full-paid scholarship. I had a guy travel to my house, and I was interested in going to art school. I liked art. I loved drawing. I loved painting. I loved all that good stuff. It was fun for me. It was also a stress reliever where I would just get involved in what I was doing, and I would forget about everything. I would forget about everything that happened to me. I'd forget about all the problems, and I would just engulf myself in painting, and I loved it, or in drawing, and I loved it. I did stuff, and I did work and got paid for it, which was wonderful, too, for some people. But not only did I do that, I did stuff for free for my school, and I painted for them. And then my sister, when she was young, I painted. She loved Pocahontas, so I did the cartoon. You remember Pocahontas? The scenes from the beginning to the ship and on all the walls. I did just scene by scene by scene until I got to the ship leaving. And I did that. And I did that when she was a little girl, and she loved it. She absolutely loved it. And then she became like 15, and I remember the phone call. She called me and says, Bubba, I really love the walls that you painted for me. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, you're welcome. That was a long time ago. And she's like, but you know, I'm 15 now. I would really like to paint over them, but I don't want to do it unless you're okay with it. I'm like, baby, paint over those walls. It's fine. And I would get in trouble because I painted the refrigerator. It was an ugly fridge. It was ugly. It was ugly. It needed to be painted. And I was very patriotic, and my family was very patriotic, so I thought they would love it. While they were gone, I decided to paint an eagle flying in with wings spread, holding an American flag. You don't get much more patriotic than that. Do you know my daddy was not that impressed? I'm like, this is art. Like, some people just don't have an eye. And so in all of that, he was not impressed. But I had a full paid scholarship to go for painting and art. And I'll tell you, I've lost a lot of school, but it's something that I can just do. It's just kind of easy for me, and I like it. But this is my point in that, is that we don't always take the jobs where our skills are best used. We often have, well, not often, but we must take the job that we're led to go into. And I was led into ministry. Now, I will tell you something. I've used all the abilities. I love math. I love business. Oh my gosh, I love everything about business. I love staplers. I love paper clips. If it deals with business, I love it. I love it. I am a weirdo. I love finances. I love balancing budgets. I just get all giddy inside when it's time to balance the budgets. I'm like, ooh. And I will tell you something. I balance every week, and it is to the penny. Even when I should let it go, there was one time I was off a penny. It took me 3.5 hours, but I found that penny. I love balancing. Since our church has been established, our church is balanced to the penny every month. We have never been off because I am very anal about that. Someone asked me one time, shouldn't you have let that go? Didn't it cost you more? I'm like, no, I'm on salary. It didn't cost the church one penny more for me to find that penny. All right, anyway. So David had a lot of skills, but you know, once he became king, he used every one of his skills. God was setting himself up. He could have said, you know, I don't have to put up with this stress. I can move a job. But God had anointed him to be there. God had anointed him to be there. And I think as a church, as a people, we should ask the Lord. We should seek God when it's time for a job. And if we need to move, ask the Lord. God, make it plain. Find the place for me. Now, I will do everything I know to do. But you make it plain in my heart what it is I'm supposed to do. And God will make it plain. And so no matter how bad your job was, your boss has not tried to kill you 4 or 5 times. At least not to your knowledge. David, his life was on the line and he kept coming back because he was where God called him to be. Now, unless you heard from God to go back, if your boss tried to kill you, you run. Like a son of a gun, you run. But God may be putting you in a place to promote you. David was a temporary job, and God put him in a permanent position. But notice his first permanent position as armor bearer was not the end. It was king. It was king. God is trying to move you into victory. I want you to write this down. You do not go with your talents. You go with your leading. I'm going to say that one more time. You do not go with your talents. You go with your leading. There may be some of you that are awesome, like I was, at drawing. Come on, that was kind of funny. I said I was awesome at something. You were supposed to catch that. Thank you. I appreciate that. I pay him, by the way. This is it. You may have an awesome ability to draw. You may even have an awesome ability to act. Doesn't mean you're an actor or a drawer. It might mean that you need to volunteer in children's church. Boom. Boom. That may be where you need to start. You're a great actor. I am good with puppets. You don't even know you're good with puppets. You are, though. You need to get in the children's church and become a puppeteer. You need to help with the nursery. You have some talents. Oh, I love technology. Oh, I have a place for you. It's called the soundboard. We have a laptop back there. And you see all these designs? You know who designs these right now? I do. I'm sick of designing these things. You mean, I am great with Photoshop. I have a job for you. Okay. So in all of this, you may have a talent and you think that's where you're supposed to work. Why don't you ask God? Why don't you ask God? And you may be supposed to work there. But maybe the talents that God gave you was for his ministry and for his kingdom purpose. And for you to get into the fullness of life, not only are you supposed to have a secular job, but maybe, just maybe, you're supposed to volunteer in your local church. You need to hear, Pastor, I don't want to do anything that I don't hear from the Lord. Okay, thus saith the Lord. Get involved in your local church. That's the Lord. That is the Lord. You know how, that's mocking. No, it's not. It's Bible. It's Bible, and you don't have to hear an audible voice from God to step into your position. You can read the Bible, and that should be enough. All right. God was getting ready to bless David. God is getting ready to bless you. Now, David needed to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying as King Saul is throwing spears at him to stand still. I'm saying spiritually, he didn't need to run. Now, physically, he needed to run. I'm telling you, he needed to run. But spiritually, he did not run from his obligations. He did not say, I know you anointed me for this job, Lord, but forget it. You didn't put this in the application process. You didn't tell me I'd have to run for my life several times. And so people can get upset about their jobs and say, you know what? We got people in here that work for the police force. We got people who own their own businesses. And I'm going to tell you, those are two difficult jobs. We got people who work for Mary Kay and sell. I'm trying to think what else people sell in here. Tupperware. I don't know. Avocare. I don't know. I don't even know what that is. People who work for McDonald's, Burger King. I don't know what you do. People who shovel snow. I don't shovel snow. I do. That's not true. I do shovel snow. But this is my joke about shoveling snow. Shoveling snow, people die every year of that, and I don't want to take the chance. I thought that was a pretty good one. And so no matter what your job is, it may seem at times it is a job from hell. Can I tell you something? Sometimes pastoring can seem like a job from hell. You don't believe that? Well, get your phone call sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not yours, the other people. The people who didn't show up this morning, their phone calls. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people can rip you to shreds. Do you know I've had people talk about me bad on Twitter? On Twitter. People who don't know me. People who don't even know me. Ministers in the state. In the state. Would you like me to quote one of the tweets? me. Wah, wah. Okay, just kidding. I had a minister. And then he even, you know, put my name in there on Twitter. So that means that I will read it. So not only did he want to bash me, he wanted me to read it. So he put my name in there. And it said, at T.L. Sadler, your services seem like a bad Saturday Night Live episode. Why are you laughing? That ain't funny. It's terrible. And then he continued and said something along the lines of blasphemous. I don't know what all he said. And so I remember I showed my wife this. I showed her. I said, look at this. Look what a minister in such and such town in my state said about me. And she said, do you know him? I'm like, no, I've never seen him. How did he? I'm guessing he listened to the podcast. What are you going to do? Right now, there ain't a whole lot I can't do because everything I'm thinking about saying has nothing to do with love. Nothing has anything to do with love. Thought about showing up. I mean, I can find him on Google. We can have a personal conversation. Nothing I'm thinking of right now is of love. So you know what I got to do? I got to leave it alone. And I left it alone. And you know, I get reports about our podcast and how many people click on the website. Every time you click, I get a report on that. And so you know what? Our podcast jumped 30%. And you want to know where it jumped? In his town. It was in his town. Yeah. And so I just kind of chuckled after I got that report. And I thought, Lord, what the devil meant for evil. You turned. And I'm not calling this pastor evil. I'm saying his action was. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what his heart was. Maybe he wasn't trying to be whatever. But some people are just mean, rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. And so that's what he was being. He's part of the body of Christ. I believe he's going to heaven. But if he's listening to this podcast, thank you for tuning in. you know, the Lord can take a situation and turn it around to bless you. And so David was trying to be promoted. David was trying to get into his position. The Lord was setting him up. And when most people would quit, King David kept plugging along because he knew he was in the will of God. And that's the key, being obedient. Being obedient doesn't mean you got a stick shoveling snow or being a cop or owning your own business forever. But if you have heard from the Lord, you be obedient until God says something different. Be obedient right where you are. Because maybe, I don't know, maybe you're supposed to own the whole company or be a manager over it. Maybe, you know, maybe you're meant to grow your own business. Maybe you're meant to sell the business. I have no idea what God has for you. But what I do know is better than what you're at right now. He constantly is causing you to increase. That's good stuff. God didn't call you to survive. He called you to thrive. God has called you into a job for advancement. God has called, can use good to promote you, and God can use evil to promote you. Be like, my boss is doing something illegal. Well, when he gets arrested, somebody's going to have to replace his butt. Long as you ain't doing nothing illegal. But you listen to God. There are times that God will tell you to get out. And there's times that God will tell you to stay. You know, the difference is being obedient to the voice of God. That's the key in everything it is we do. Let's be obedient to the promptings of the Lord. David's first title, we already said it, was an armor bearer. And that was the first time we ever saw an armor bearer in the Word. God created a job so David would have a job. Well, I don't have a job. Well, don't quit. God will create a job for you. Whatever it is you're good at, I don't know. The flower keeper. Maybe you're good at growing things. I have no idea. God will create a position for you. He will open doors. He will create a door where there was no door. Right. Be like, the stuff I'm good at, there's not a job out there. God will create it. He will create a position for you. He did for David. He was hired for a temp job and God made it a permanent job. He was hired to soothe King Saul when he was troubled with a demonic spirit, and he made, and God made king, made him king of all of Israel. Now, in the natural, nothing was in line for David to get that job. Do you know who was next in line for king? Jonathan was. Jonathan was the next in line for king. And you know what God did? God made it so that David would step into place. God made it so David would step into place. Now, when God gets involved, he can change everything. He can change.